in the wave storm, you just, you have to duck under the wave. You know, what can I tell you? Don't try and ride this kind of a wave. Huh? It's a big one. Okay. Yeah. So far, that's me. I have no idea. If this is what it is, Baruch Hashem, it was somewhere between a bad cold and mild flu. So that's kind of, you know. And I suddenly realized, I made a cup of coffee. Normally you smell the coffee. I can't smell. I started smelling. I realized I can't smell. So I don't know how long I haven't been able to smell for. I just never noticed until today. It could be that I've had it before. It's like crazy. So it's been over a week already. So anyway, Hashem Yazor. Looking forward to getting back. Fine. What I want to go over again, we did last week, but it was all probably the last week on my head was also, I was already probably getting sick. You remember, I missed a page and it was a bit of a bilbo last week. So what I want to do is I want to go through the seventh difference again. We're in Perek Hay, dealing with the differences between a Baal B'Tochen and a not Baal B'Tochen in seven different areas. When we finish this, we'll summarize and we'll go over them again. I don't remember them and you probably don't remember them too well either. There's a couple of interesting things that we have to look at, particularly in the seventh one, yeah. So I went through it again and I want to just pick out a few. It's important that we do it again. Last week, I don't think we got and it's a very important distinction. So let's look at it again and see if we can deal with it properly this time. So he says, Vashvi, Yavotach belokim lo ya'abel behimone bekosher, velo ipoket ov, velo yetzo hanimtso. So let's just break that up a little bit into a few pieces. Person who trusts in Hashem, first of all, he doesn't get upset. He uses the word ovel. It's a strong word. He doesn't grieve. He doesn't mourn. When something that he wants, he doesn't get. He doesn't have a tantrum in our language, let's call it. He doesn't get what he wants, so he doesn't sit shiva. Voy pocket ohuv. And when he loses what's beloved to him, he also doesn't grieve. Velo ye'otza nimtso, he also doesn't hoard what he has. Now we have to see what that means. Does it mean that a person doesn't save for a rainy day? He doesn't put away. He just uses whatever he has. We'll see. The Matisyahu is an interesting piece on this. There's some interesting insights. Obviously, can't paskin everybody shalas about futures. It's a very complicated question, but we'll see. It depends a lot on a person's level, but we'll discuss it. But a Baal B'Tochen doesn't put away for tomorrow when he can use it today. If he doesn't need it today, he won't waste it. But if you have money put away, let's say for tomorrow, and the money is needed for something important today, use it today. What'll be tomorrow? What about tomorrow when it comes? So we'll see that we have to see how that applies to us because we're not holding there. And the fourth thing is he doesn't worry anything more than today's provisions. Okay, that he doesn't hoard, and he also isn't worried more than what he needs for today. It means for today he has to do what he has to do to get today, but tomorrow is a law by Yashelon. Because he doesn't bother himself with what will be tomorrow. Because he doesn't know when his end is going to come. He trusts Hashem that if he wants him to carry on living and he'll have a decree for him to live, then he'll have what he needs in order to live for those days. If Hashem wants me to be alive tomorrow, he'll give me what I need to live for tomorrow. Now, obviously, we're not holding there, and it could be irresponsible for us to function like that. But the Yesodia, the cloud that's being taught, and we have to try and find a way to extract that for our purposes, is a person's not going to live forever. And if he, as long as he's alive, that's because Hashem's giving him life. So he looks at his future based on the conviction that Hashem will give him the life that he needs according to what Hashem wants. That means he has betochen that he'll live. And this betochen frees him from preparing for him for the future because he trusts that if Hashem gives him life, he'll give whatever he needs. Well, those two go together. And if Hashem doesn't want him to live, then he won't live. Then that's what the Chochma Elyona decreed for him. Okay, so we have to work this through a little bit. Not sure to do it now. Let's go through this before we do the Eini Botach. Maybe we'll have a look and see how this applies to us today. Just try and get some grasp of the levels we're talking about here, because it's an issue that affects us. It's practical. It's something we think about all the time. And it's not something abstract and theoretical. It's something that we encounter a lot. And we have to try and make some sense out of these things which are way over our head. Okay. The next thing that a Baal B'tochen, Zaini Somech Ba'asid V'lo Yoichel Lo, K'mo Shamar Kosov, Al Titalel B'yoy Macha, Ki Lo Teda Ma Yeled Yoy. He also doesn't get excited about the future, worried about the future, excited about the future. Because the Pasuk says, don't be gavadik about tomorrow, because you don't know what each day is going to bring. Don't be gavadik about tomorrow, because you know what's going to come. And don't be worried about tomorrow, because you don't know what's going to come. Because tomorrow could come and you won't. Who says you and tomorrow are even going to meet? So why are you getting excited about tomorrow? Why are you getting upset about tomorrow? Let's take a lotion of the Ibn Ezra, no, the famous poem of the Ibn Ezra, the kids sing it. The past is finished, the future is not yet, and today doesn't exist. So what are you worrying about? Because the today is made up of the past and the future. So if the past is not yet, and the future is not yet, so then the present means, what are you worrying about? Because you don't even exist. okay. Whatever you do with that Ibn Ezra, that's not our subject now. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. But Sisra said, "Al tatze tzara macha ki lo teida ma yeled yoy." You don't know what the day is going to bring. Macha yavov veinenu v'nimtze mitzteir al oilam sheni shaloi. Means you are worrying about something today, about a world that doesn't even belong to you. The person's worrying about what's going to be tomorrow, and tomorrow he's not here; he's in another world. So you are worrying about a world that you don't even live in. You were worrying about something that.
What did your sefer said, Yevamos? What did you say?
No, this is the first statement brought from the beginning, not this. The first one, when he quotes the V'Amma ben Sisra. Al-Tatze Tzora Macha Ki Lo Teide Yeled Yoy. Ben Sisra is the Gemara in Yevamos. Daf Samach Gimel.
Because here it says, I have here Sanhedrin.
Kuf it's in Sanhedrin as well. It's in Sanhedrin as well.
Okay.
He says, yeah, I'll just tell you interesting because I haven't seen the Gemara, but he says, yeah, that Ben Sisra was somebody who wrote in the Baishani era. He wrote a book, the Book of Ben Sisra, and it had very important Musa in it. But it had certain objectional passages, and the Gemara discusses where the book should be prohibited for reading because of those passages. In any case, the legends from the book quoted in the Gemara, such as the one Satya, may certainly be read and studied. The ones that are quoted that the Gemara brings down, you can. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is discussing whether you can learn Ben Sisra or not. It seems that he's quoting here, this shtickle, he's quoting is from Yevamos. I haven't looked it up. You're right. We should go look it up. Take out of Yevamos and see if it's there. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on the Kuf in Sanhedrin, there discusses whether the Chazal wanted to ban his books or whatever, exactly what the story was with him. So he teaches this lesson that you shouldn't be too worried about tomorrow because tomorrow will come and you won't, and then you'll have worried about a world that's not yours. Mitztaro ilam she'enu sheloi. Aval, da'gose ve'evloi, amar shehu mekatze bo achoyves ni'abayre. The correct place for a person to be concerned and worried is in the area, we're talking about someone who has betochen, is in the area where he's falling short in his service of Hashem. I mean, a person needs to worry. A person wants to be whatever. Yeah, how's my avodas Hashem? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Ashrei ish mefached tamid. Also, not for us. We can't live like that. But at least to have some time of the day where you worry about where you're holding. We should be looking at how well we're doing. We should be focusing on how well we're doing, how good we're doing, because it is a very important yosodia. It's a little kosher to this dafka, but in all areas of where you start worrying and doing musa and cheshbon and nefesh and all these things, is to do it properly, you have to be a bal simcha. And you have to be a bal simcha after you've done all this avoda. Problem with us, if we start looking at our faults and we start looking at where we're falling short and we start worrying and we start grieving, uses the word grief, evloy, we start mamash being an oval and we start mourning our lack of avodas Hashem, you're not a bal simcha anymore. You can't be a simcha when you're doing that. We don't know how to do that. First, let's be very careful with these things. Charata, for example, in tshuva. Charot is for somebody who knows how to be mitcharet besimcha. How do you do that? So this is talking to normal, healthy people. We'll start focusing on our faults and all the things that are wrong with us. You'll get miserable, which is osel lagamre. So again, important to remember that these things are for people who know how to do this. But in a chinami, there's room for a person to check out and see how can he improve himself. He's doing so well already, but maybe I can do a bit better. But not to focus on the negative, on the grief. Talking about the grief, a person, a Baal B'Tochen, can be grieving over his level of Avodas Hashem. We're grieving even when we think we're doing well. Then you're going to start work, you'll get depressed, you'll be miserable. The law of Avodas Shelam. Dr. Hutner already said that this generation can't work on Charata. Not Shaykh to work on Charata. You shouldn't write it out the Rambam. You don't rewrite the Rambam. You have to find a way to have Charata. But for us, it's a fleeting feeling, but it's not something that we can be amal in because we're starting off on the wrong foot. These are normal, healthy Baal B'Tochen, healthy Baal self-esteem, healthy, normal people with mamash who held of themselves. Then you can start working on Charata and grieving your lack of Avodas Hashem. For us to do that today, you'll be taking antidepressants within a day. For us. So we have to find out also how we deal with that because it's obviously got to be dealt with. But yeah, a person has to do cheshbon, has to see where he's holding. But he should focus on his good stuff. That's the ultimate Slobodka's whole ma'alach. First focus on how good you're doing, how great you're doing before you start focusing on grieving your lack of Avodas Hashem. Okay.
Rabbi, when you speak about Slobodka and that's their approach, that also brings up a question for me. From the Breslov perspective, there's this concept of taking some time for hisbodedus to recognize your faults, but then the rest of the time focus on being besimcha. Is that the same inyan?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Breslov, but it sounds, yeah, a person should spend his time working on, why do we need to, if we're always going to celebrate our level and be happy with who we are and not think about how we can grow and improve, then that's going to be detrimental. But all I'm saying is that avoid has to come from a positive place, not from a negative place. And we can't grieve and daiga and worry and miss Abel about our Avodas Hashem because we're miserable to start with.
Yeah.
To be able to miss Abel on your Avodas Hashem, you have to be holding as a real Baal Simcha. You have to be holding with full self-esteem, fully actualized self-esteem, knowing how great you are. Then you can start being miss Abel. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm saying that could be. I've mentioned it many times, a person to do cheshbon nefesh before you go to sleep at night. I don't know about cheshbon nefesh, cheshbon maisa. I don't know about cheshbon nefesh. I don't know what that is. I'm talking about cheshbon maisa. Have a look and see, are my maisim bringing me closer to my goal or are they taking me away from my goal and how can I improve them? Every businessman does that. No businessman doesn't stop every few days and has a look and see, hey, is the business making a profit or not? We're businessmen, we're in the career of becoming better people. So, yeah, but I'm saying not from this perspective of our dagosa, ve'evlo, ma'ashuma, katse, v'chivis, avoyre. The grief and the worry about his lack of avoider, the bichlal no shaykh for us. Person has to be concerned, person has to be aware, person has to have plans for sure, but not to get involved in grieving too much. Anyway. And a person has to apply himself to pay whatever he has to pay back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both in what he does outwardly, in the outward mitzvahs, and also in his inner world, in the void of the Chovas HaLevavos. Because another thing, you have to know whether you can do this or not. Because this person thinks constantly about his death and the arrival of the ingathering when his Shama goes to the next world. Constantly he's thinking about death. You constantly be thinking about death, you become immobilized, you're not going to function properly. But people that are able to think about death, and I think it was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said he didn't go a day without thinking about death and it didn't do him any detriment. He used to always talk about, Rabbi Avigdor Miller speaks about Gehenna, and he says it's something a person has to learn about and know about, won't harm you. We need to learn these things, but also a person has to know himself and how much of a Baal Simcha you're going to be. You start thinking that you're going to die every day and you're living with this death kind of looming, end of days looming over your head, you're also not going to function properly. It's not even normal with these things.
I can attest to that.
And he should be careful because he should be concerned that suddenly maybe he'll die. So he prepares himself and intensifies his efforts to provide the things that he's going to need for the journey. And he becomes indifferent about preparing the material provisions which he needs for this world. Mishne Pekavu says, a person should do tshuva one day before he dies. That means do tshuva today, because you never know when you're going to die. That means do tshuva every day, and you'll spend the rest of your days doing tshuva. It is here, make sure that you're always ready. Your clothes are always clean. You never know when you're going to be called in for the meeting. Okay. So there also a lot of work to be done, a lot to be spoken about there. I want to focus, before we look at the opposite of the Baal B'tochen, I want to look at what he said, yeah, because this is something that, I don't know, it troubles me. If it doesn't bother you, we can move on. But this balance between using what you have today and making sure that you have for tomorrow, it touches on insurance policies, it touches on all sorts of different things about what a person needs to do in order to use today what you need today, but also what's going to be with tomorrow. That there's something that we... Don't tell me that none of you aren't worried about what's going to be with Panosa tomorrow. You know, well, it's 9 o'clock. I don't need that much more today, so everything's fine. I'll worry about it tomorrow. You know, there may be people going to bed like that at night, but I think it's something to focus on. It says in Arichas, yeah, it's mainly based on the Matnas Chaim from Matnas Chelke. Sorry, the sefer is called Matnas Chelke from Rav Matisyahu. But he tells the Moedik HaMaisa, the Tosha Rebbe was the... in Montreal, Rav Lowy, Rav Mushulam Feish Lowy, a well-known Rav in, I know people, I never met him, but I know people that used to go to him for broch, very chosh of a yid in Montreal. So he was a big bald stocker. He was, he had the entire, he was like the Vardat stocker of the whole of the community there. The whole thing was on his shoulders, the yeshiva. And he used to mortgage buildings, the yeshiva owned buildings and whatever. And he used to mortgage the buildings in order to raise money to give the poor. And he never was able to save money for the future. That means you need something today, you use it. So there was an incident he brings here, just to set the tone for this discussion, just to make it more relevant to our generation. So he was told that by next Wednesday, they need an enormous amount of money to pay back the bank so that the bank doesn't foreclose on the loan. So they put the money, they had the money, and they kept it, putting it aside, whatever. On the Sunday, On the Sunday, a yid came to him and told him that he needed the money urgently because he'd borrowed money from the crime guys, the organized crimes, you know, these black market lenders or whatever. And if he didn't pay them back, they would kill him. He needed the money to pay the debt that day. So the Rebbe took the money that he had put away for the foreclosure and gave it to him. So you can imagine the Balabatim, the committee, whoever, the Gaboyim, I don't know who it was. And they were very upset. They've been working around the clock, trying to raise this money, putting the money away to pay the bank so there wouldn't be a foreclosure. And then now the community is going to lose their buildings. What are you talking about? So he said to him, I don't understand what your problem is. He needs the money today. I don't need the money until Wednesday. It's only Monday today. We don't need the money till Wednesday. Well, I'm going to keep money that I don't need today. I need it for Wednesday. He needs it now. In 2 days, Akash Baruch can do anything. So... I don't know, we know, I don't know if you all know, I mean, Yonatan will remember for sure, there's a yid who's bald, I don't want to mention his name, maybe I'll switch off the recording for 1 second. Oh, yeah, what am I doing now? The question is, where are we holding in this? So this is something you have to work out for yourself. You have to be responsible. You have to know what is shtadlus, what you can live with. And the benchmark is always going to be, and I've mentioned this many times, from Rav Dessler, from Rav Moshe Miller, the benchmark is going to be is if it doesn't work out the way you wanted it, will you be mitcharet? If it doesn't go the way you want it, I mean, come 7 o'clock and you haven't got the money to pay it back, will you mitcharet that you didn't make enough ishtadlus? To be a responsible person, not somebody says, oh, I don't care, whatever, you know, gemachim, you know, they'll wait. No, I'm talking about somebody who knows he has to pay back. I'm talking about somebody who's living with Yerushalayim. So I know that if I would start looking for the money off the mincha on the day I have to pay it back and I don't get the money, I would think I'm an idiot. What are you doing? I would mitcharet. So therefore, that's why I can't do that. You have to find the nekuda where... Anyway, that's a message from the Tosha Rebbe. But he says, he said, a person not worrying about his panosa every day, the day before, is a very, very high level. And it's something to strive for. It's a very nice thing to have as a direction finder, as a goal, but we're not holding there. We're supposed to conduct ourselves with the dear betochen that follows our level. Where's your betochen and function according to that? We're not allowed to function like that. Rav Miller says many times in his Seif on betochen that a Jew has to live normally for what for him what's considered normal. And there's, we end with this very interesting Gemara here. It's a machlokes tanoim lamaisa amongst the greats, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shammai and Hillel, no one Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Shammai and Hillel is a Gemara in Beitza. Shammai would honor Shabbos, the Gemara says, there's all week long. It's a famous maisa. He would buy an animal, let's say, to shech for Shabbos, and he would buy it for Shabbos, and then the next day he'd find something better. So he'd shech the first animal now and eat it, and then he'd have the better one for Shabbos. And the whole day, that's what he would do until he got to Shabbos with the best things that he had. That means he's preparing for Shabbos the whole week. He's being mechabed Shabbos the whole week. He finds a nice fruit, he puts it aside. Tomorrow he finds a better fruit, so he eats this one, and he puts the other one aside for Shabbos. And that way he was always ready for Shabbos. Hillel's approach was completely different. He relied on the pasuk. It says, Baruch Hashem, yom yom yamos lanu. Hashem takes care of us every day. What are you worrying about tomorrow for? He would eat whatever he wanted to eat today. And when Shabbos came, he knew that he would have the best portion for Shabbos. He didn't have to save for Shabbos. He didn't have to all the week go and prepare and make sure he's got better food for Shabbos. So most of the halachic, most of the poskim, when they deal with this subject, the Mishnah Berurah already brings it down, the Rashi and Shmois there, the Dach HaChaim, there's a whole list here, the Bach and Aruch Chaim. There's a whole arichas of halachic authorities that says that today we have to function like Shammai, not like Hillel. Hillel's dag is way beyond us. To go into mitzvah, even the Brisker Rova mentioned last week when it came to Erev Yom Kippur, he felt that he had to make some ishtadlus to keep the bread for tomorrow because it's really mitzvah. Betochen, we say mitzvah, you don't have betochen. Betochen mitzvahs, you have to make all these ishtadlus for. So Hillel's approach is way beyond us. The halachic approach is to go like Shammai. Don't have to do like Shammai does, but the principle that comes out from Shammai. A person has to make an effort every day. He has to find, he has to look, he has to make sure that he's done everything he can, that he'll have what to eat on Shabbos. And not just to eat, he'll have better quality food, more covered Shabbos. Rapinkus was like this. Rapinkus lived like that, like Shammai. Very much like that. He would find something nice, whatever, he would bring it home for Shabbos. He would see something, oh, this is for Shabbos. This is the whole week he was busy with Shabbos. I'm not talking about the covered Shabbos here. There's Emashur Chet, it's another sugya. I'm talking about the Betochen here. The Baruch Hashem Yom Yosman Baruch Hashem Yom Yamus Lanu. That's Hillel, but we're not holding there. We have to, now once again, a person's holding there. Person, that's how you live your life regularly, then Gesundheit. That's what you should do, not a question. That's a much more preferable thing. Maybe even little areas, try and find a way where you can. But the bottom line is we need to function according to our levels. We have to function what's considered normal for us, what's appropriate for us. Like I say, you know, what's normal? Schoenberg wore 180 pairs of tzitzis. If I would wear two pairs, it would be crazy. For him, 180 was normal. Because for him, that's appropriate. For me, two is not appropriate. Or you're wearing two pairs of tzitzis for my sugar. The same year. So this is not easy. This is a person has to work through. You have to discuss it. You have to talk it out with the Rov, with the Chavrusa. You have to speak it out. Next week, Metz Hashem will discuss and focus on someone who's not a Boteach by Hashem, how he approaches these sugyas. And then we'll summarize the seven levels. And then we have a very short chapter. Chapter 6 is a very short chapter. Also, some one or two very important principles. And then we'll decide. We'll start again or we'll start Shara Bechina. Let's see where we decide to go, Bezrat Hashem.
Rebbe, will the morning vibe be zoomed?
I don't think so. I don't want to say... Metz Hashem, I'm going to be back by Wednesday. My days and everything. If I just, I'd like to do a test tomorrow. If I'm shlili, even if I'm not shlili, the truth is, because you can still be chiyuvi weeks after you finish having corona. There was a problem right in the beginning where the people couldn't get out the hotels because you needed two shlili bedikot. I know people that tested chiyuvi a month after that corona. It was from the. So I have to ask the doctor exactly what I'm doing. But Wednesday is lichoyer the day. Wednesday is the day that I can come out. From the time my Tasminim started, will be 10 days. So I don't know, but I do want to do a test tomorrow and just see where I'm holding. So hopefully Wednesday we can get back together again. If it's going to be a long haul, then we'll start the Zoom again. But I don't want to get into a habit of doing that right now. Although there are quite a few people that can't come in. We'll have to see. I don't know, Reb David Chesner's not well. There are a few people's wives aren't well. Kids aren't well. I don't know what the base midrash looks like, Shlomo. There's people around.
There are people around, but it has been a little bit less.
Yeah. No, you see it on the road. Somebody told me today it took them 45 minutes to get from Tel Aviv to Bnei Brak, from Jerusalem to Bnei Brak. When was the last time anybody 45 minutes to get from Jerusalem to Bnei Brak?
That's quick.
The roads are empty. Just like, it's crazy. So, okay. One day at a time. Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom Yamos Lanu. That's all we can do. Refuz Vishruz, Besudas Toivas.
Amen.
Thank you. Take care.